If you have a Bible, maybe you would open it at Psalm 142, and we'll read from it in a moment or two. I've been thinking a lot recently about the many people who are shut in all the time, not just under the current restrictions. People who are elderly and frail, people who are disabled, immobile, people with sight loss, people with phobias or mental illness. It's only now that some of us are getting a taste of life as others know it. A taste of everyday life for so many. The government restrictions have forced me to think more deeply about confinement and perhaps look at it with new eyes. Of course, I've also looked in the Bible for any occasions when its characters experienced something similar. And it's that search that led me to Psalm 142. It's a prayer of David when he was in the cave. And verse 1 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me. I looked in my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now it's a psalm of instruction, or a psalm designed to impart wisdom. And it's regarding a time when David was in the cave. Now, twice we read of David being in a cave. In 1 Samuel 22, we read of him in the cave of Adullam. And in 1 Samuel 24, we read of him in a cave at En-Gedi. That second instance, at En-Gedi, David was hiding from King Saul, who had been set aside by God as king. David was now God's choice as Saul's replacement. But Saul was still around and had many supporters, and he wasn't going to hand over the reins without a fight. Although David was hiding from Saul at En-Gedi, something unbelievable happened. Saul came into the very cave where David and some of his men were, giving David the perfect opportunity to get rid of his enemy by assassinating him. But David wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. And when we think of that event, it doesn't really fit in with the sentiments found in Psalm 142. So then we turn to Adullam. And I believe there are three psalms that are written about David's experiences at Adullam. Psalm 34, Psalm 57, and this one, Psalm 142. If that is so, then in Psalm 34 we find testifying from the cave. In Psalm 57, we find singing from the cave. And Psalm 142, which we are going to look at now, is praying from the cave. We could, of course, just leave it at that, praying from the cave. But we could also think of it in another way. Bring it maybe into focus through the lens that we're using today and these days that we find ourselves in. And we could say praying in self-isolation. It's another one of those phrases that we really hadn't used or thought of or heard of, perhaps, until recent weeks. But before we get to that, let's look at the psalm and maybe what the psalm doesn't say. In the Bible accounts of David's time in either of those caves, Adullam or En-Gedi, which we've already mentioned, he doesn't seem to be alone. And yet, this is the image that is being portrayed in Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. No man cared for my soul. The history of his time in the Adullam cave informs us that his family joined him there, and upwards of 400 men. So how do I make sense of this psalm in light of these facts? Well, we know that the psalms aren't history, so we've got to go to other places for the history. But they are descriptions of feelings felt, of lessons learned. And that's what they're more about than mere facts. And they often describe just a moment in time. Now that could be a jubilant moment. Or as with the time we looked at Psalm 88, a dark moment. It could be a thoughtful moment, a prayerful moment. But a moment nevertheless. A moment of emotion. And it's a prayer. It's not a biography. We have that right at the start. It's a prayer. It's the same when we read of David testifying from the cave. That wasn't the whole story. But what a wonderful moment that was. Likewise, when we read of David singing from the cave, that too wasn't the whole story. But it was similarly a wonderful moment in the story. So let's set aside the rest of the story at Adullam and hone in on this one moment. This moment of self-isolation. This moment of praying from the cave. Have you ever been inside a cave? Well, around the beautiful North Antrim coast, there are many small caves, and they don't extend very far. As a child, I remember exploring the cave there at Ballantoy near the car park, and it isn't very deep. I remember also exploring a little cave at White Park Bay, which is almost completely hidden. And you can take those as an example and then contrast that with large caverns. And I'm sure many of us have visited the Marble Arch Caves at Florence Court in County Fermanagh. We've been told about the stalactites that are hanging down from the ceiling of the cavern. And I remember being told, you know they're stalactites because they're hanging on tight. And then down below them are stalagmites, and they're called that because they might just eventually join up with the others and become a pillar. So we were told on our school trip. But the caves that we experience here in Northern Ireland are all damp. And somehow I doubt whether the caves at Adullam or in Gedi would have been very damp. But caves, regardless of where they are the world over, they do something to us. For some people, they can fill them with fear because we don't have to go too far into a cave until we realise that they become very dark. Some people feel claustrophobia when they're in a cave. Darkness. Fear. Fear of the unknown. And there's usually only one way in and one way out. So they can leave us feeling trapped, confined. Certainly, David mentions something along those lines in verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison. Now, only the worst of circumstances would make a cave a preferable option for someone like David. David, the king of Israel. So I believe Psalm 142 describes how the king felt in his self-isolation in the cave. And some of the feelings that we have described for us are these. Loneliness. Loss of freedom. Helplessness. Wouldn't those be feelings that many are experiencing today? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're feeling your loss of freedom. Maybe you're feeling your helplessness. You would love to be even able to help family members, but you can't. We're hearing of so many in our fellowship who are bereaved and how you'd love to reach out to them with that handshake and that hug and that kiss, but you can't. And loneliness. Someone once said, what a man is when he is alone is what a man is. We can maybe add a wee bit to that. What a man is when he's alone before God is all that a man is. In the loneliness of the cave, there'd be nobody there to flatter David. There would be nobody there to become a crutch or a prop for him that he could lean on. There would be nobody there to worship him. Loneliness is a sharp chisel in the master sculptor's workshop. So there are lessons to be learned from loneliness. And yet today loneliness is taboo for so many. We do everything we possibly can to make sure we are not alone when we run away from the very idea of loneliness. How are we using our alone time? Well, Paul felt alone. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. But then he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So alone with regard to others, with regard to humans, but alone with God. Jesus talked about the best conditions for praying to God, for approaching God. And he does so in Matthew 6:6. When you pray, says Jesus, enter into your closet. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Think about the time when David would be walking on the roof of the palace. All the others were away out to war, to fight battles, all the other kings and leaders. And David stays behind. And it's at that time that he catches the glimpse of an attractive woman having a bath. You see, really, in comparison to that, he was safer in the cave than the palace, because his alone time in the cave focused him on the Lord. There was less to tempt him in the isolation of the cave. Find me a comfortable cave. So go visit a cave and you'll come back and you'll tell me there's no such thing as a comfortable cave. And we all like things to be comfortable. We like the Christian experience to be comfortable. We like the walk with the Lord to be in the comfortable way, the easy path. Isaac Watts wrote these words: must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? David had been shaken out of his comfort zone, and he's alone with God. And he cries to the Lord. That's how our psalm opens. I cry unto the Lord with my voice. Unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And he's doing it audibly. And I want you to picture that. I try to imagine these things as I read them in the Word of God. There he is in a cave. It's obviously a cave of some size, certainly at Adullam it must have been. So think about the prayer that's audible. He's not praying inwardly, he's praying audibly. He's crying out to the Lord. Think of the echo. Think of the pain in his prayer ricocheting around that stony space. And yet I'm sure he was also aware of the massive weight of solid rock that was above his head. But that was no obstacle to his prayer. To use another Bible phrase, the heavens seeming like brass. I wonder, is that sometimes what it feels like when you pray, when I pray? Well, he didn't need the heavens to be as brass, because above him was this enormous weight of solid rock. And yet he prayed. He prayed, he prayed, and he prayed. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, verse 7. And it's in verse 7 that he says, bring out my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. God had destined David for the palace, not a cave. God had destined David even for the battlefield, not a prison. I wonder if David was tempted to lose sight of these things that he knew. God's call in his life. God's promises in his life. I wonder, does hardship make us lose sight of God's purposes for us and God's promises. I believe that David is assured of God's call and promises because he goes on to say in verse 7, the righteous shall, he's looking forward, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. When did he pray? He prayed when he was overwhelmed. He doesn't just experience loneliness and experience loss of freedom, but he also experiences helplessness. He feels overwhelmed, verse 3. I suppose the idea perhaps is that in his distress, he has lost his vigour. Perhaps there's no fight in him just at that moment, no spirit, no enthusiasm. He wasn't able to see how he could escape from these troubles. And for a moment, he's overwhelmed. He had no heart to make the effort. His experience was an overwhelming experience. But yet in that moment, he realizes something. He realizes that he's on a journey with the Lord, verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. So he's acknowledging that the Lord was aware of the journey and the path that David was on. Even though he's in a cave, he's in the middle of solid rock, he's convinced that God's aware. He also knows that his adversaries are also aware of the journey that he's been on. Not a spiritual journey, but his physical journey. And that's why the cave could separate him from his enemies, but it couldn't separate him from God. His enemies were conspiring to set a trap for him. It wasn't open, manly warfare that David had to face. David was up for that. Remember the wild animals he encountered in his youth? Goliath the giant. But it's this unseen enemy. The enemy who's trying to outsmart David, who's hunting him like an animal, who's using ambushes and covert tactics against him. Remember during the years of terrorism in this province of ours, historically called the Troubles, many RUC officers had to change their route to their work to avoid being ambushed. You see, there was an unseen enemy, a lurking enemy. And they were using covert tactics against them. Do you know that's one of the phrases that's been used about COVID-19 in these days? It's the unseen enemy. And serious as that enemy is, there's a worse enemy than that. Paul gives great advice in Ephesians 6 and he talks about we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, an enemy we can go out and face and look in the eye. No, it's principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy. Perhaps we needed to be reminded every now and then of that unseen enemy that we as believers have. And it's sometimes so that we have to be overwhelmed before we consider these things and before we call upon the Lord. Sometimes we have to exhaust our own human resources before we bring our situation to the Saviour. David was overwhelmed and also, verse 6, brought very low. He prays from the cave. Did he pray to complain? No. Although we do read of that verse, or that word in verse 2, it doesn't mean what we think it might mean. It doesn't mean moaning and grumbling. Because the same word is used in Psalm 104 and 34, and it's translated there, meditation. David is rehearsing before the Lord a situation that has taken over his every waking thought. His head is full of issues but no answers. But then he does something. He adopts the process of offloading. Beginning of verse 2. I poured out I like to think that God expects us to remember that he's not only our Lord, but also our Father and friend. Have you someone you can pour things out to? Isn't it better to pour out our anxieties before the Lord than to erupt in front of others? David needed to pour out the brain spinning over analysis, the meditations, if you like, of his heart and mind. Why did he pray from the cave? Well, he felt his helplessness. But he also acknowledges something, that he can have absolute confidence in God. He knew there was one who was listening. And not only that, but the one who was listening was able to help. Attend unto my cry, verse 6, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than me. He prayed because his enemies were too strong for him, perhaps too many, too well armed, too well trained, too zealous, too vicious. Yes, too strong for David, but not for David's God. Oh, there's a wee chorus some might think is frivolous and not very weighty, and it goes like this. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. I don't think it's that frivolous. Well, are there lessons to be learned from self-isolation? Verse 5, David says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Wasn't the cave that David was trusting in? He discovered that when he was in the cave, it was really God. Not only that, but his portion is the Lord. The idea of portion usually speaks of the dividing up of land, your area, what you own, your inheritance perhaps, something you gained by legacy. It would have given you security. It was a provision. It was a possession. But this is different to what David has in mind. He isn't making a mental inventory of stuff, temporal stuff, stuff that money can buy. He's made a greater discovery. The Lord is his portion. When I was in business, in my career as an interior designer, we had the privilege of going to beautiful homes, large homes, homes where money was no obstacle. And yet, a number of occasions in these fantastic homes, houses really, those who owned them were very unhappy. My colleague and I counted one day, just in a 5-year period, the number of customers that openly wept with us, really as complete strangers, just somebody to share their misery with. Oh, stuff. Stuff that money can buy. Is that your portion? David's portion was the Lord. And this is the king talking. Yes, there are lessons to learn from self-isolation. Jesus is all we need. There are also warnings from self-isolation. David wasn't going to always be in the cave. His prayer is, bring me out. Bring me out of prison that I may praise thy name. Because sometimes difficulties in our lives can have an effect or a cause in us perhaps a reaction that isn't helpful. Because the difficulties in our lives aren't intended to turn us into hermits or monks, closing ourselves away. They're designed to refine us, to mould us, to improve us, to make us more like Jesus, to take us in a path which Jesus has already trodden. And if we become more like him, and others can then see Jesus in us, Jesus shouldn't be hidden. He mustn't be hidden. Our light must shine before men. So we can't hide ourselves away. Becoming like Jesus is something that needs to be witnessed by a hopeless and helpless world. How will we come out of this period of isolation and restriction? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we come out of it more like Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful if a hungry, waiting world were to see a people of God more like Jesus? What are our prison weeks, our isolation weeks, teaching us? The Apostle Paul was many times in prison. And we read over and over again, I received of the Lord, I received of the Lord, I received of the Lord. John was in Patmos as a prisoner, and he got visions of the Lord. The Lord was their portion. Let's spend our alone time alone with God, and may he bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake.